I started sharing my information, my knowledge, and I started learning from other people as well. So I was at a position where I thought, okay, why don't we do our own deals? Why just keep investing? I was still investing, but I started doing active roles in syndications rather than being passive.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I am very excited to introduce our guest for the day, KK Singh. KK is a legend in the space as far as I'm concerned. Thank you so much for being here, KK.
Thank you very much, Sujata, for having me on your show today.
Absolutely. So everyone, KK is the CEO of Grow Rich Capital, and he has a wealth of experience in business and in real estate, in single family, multifamily, gas stations, et cetera. He's great with asset management. I'm just really excited to have him share his story and get into some of the technical aspects of doing these deals. So KK, why don't you start us out with sharing a bit about your background and how you got into real estate and why?
I'm going to start with real estate because my background is long, but I'm Microsoft certified system engineer and lost my job in 9/11. And got into the gas station business for now about 21 years.
Did you say you were in IT or what were you doing?
Yep. I am Microsoft certified system engineer.
Okay.
And I lost my job after 9/11 and got into the gas station business because I had friends. It was just 6 months after I came to United States when this happened. And
can I just ask really quick? So like, what was it about 9/11 that triggered like a job loss event for you?
Well, a lot of people lost their jobs then. A lot of companies laid off people. So was I.
Okay.
So
because it was like just a general economic shock.
Yes.
Okay.
So a lot of other people also lost jobs at that time. And I had friends in Indianapolis who were in the gas station business. They offered me a partnership in one of their gas stations. And that's how I got into the gas station business and been in the gas station business for 21 years now. So I got into the real estate business by accident because somebody offered me a 40 single family portfolio at our church. And he wanted me to sell that to me and offered me to help for a year with the management. And finally, he talked me into buying his 40 single family properties, which I started managing myself and soon realized that I need to move on to multifamily rather than increasing my portfolio with the single family.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that. So what was that experience like managing 40 single family houses?
Okay, first of all, when I bought this 40 single family portfolio from him and he started coaching me on that, he was old school. Okay. So he was about 80 years old and he did everything on the paper and pencil, and he spent the whole day in his office managing those. And that was not my way of doing business because I had, at that time, I was managing a laundromat and a gas station as well. So I didn't have that kind of time that he had. So I after 10 days, I asked him to leave me alone. And I moved all my portfolio to an online property management company. And I started managing through that portal. And I moved all my residents also, and they started paying online and all that kind of stuff. So that's how I realized that this is not the way to do it. And it was a lot of work the way he was doing. I didn't have time to do all that the way he was doing, all the paperwork and all the financing. And so I don't know why. He was old school, so he didn't know much about the computers. He hardly ever texted. So you can get a better idea that how he was. And but he was a nice guy. He helped me in every aspect of whenever I needed his help. So he gave me a great deal as well.
Okay, cool. So you changed up a bunch of systems to be more efficient. But you know, you also said that at some point during that process, you realized you wanted to do multifamily. And what was it that kind of helped you make that mental switch?
The biggest thing was after 6 months when we had to pay taxes, because we bought this portfolio in June, and I thought, now we are in the real estate, we don't have to pay any taxes.
But that's what they say.
But I was absolutely wrong. That was not the way to save money on taxes. So because we didn't get cost segregation, we didn't know anything about the cost segregation, et cetera, at that time. So I started investing passively in multifamily to learn the multifamily business.
So just for the listeners who might not quite grasp like what you just explained. So you bought this 40 house portfolio in June, and then you were getting rental income from it, and you had some expenses and some depreciation. Can you just break that down for us?
Okay. So when I bought that portfolio, I didn't know what cost segregation was. So we didn't go through the cost segregation process. In 6 months, we made 70,000 profit. So when I took it, all my paperwork to my accountant, and ended up paying even more taxes than I was. So I talked to him and asked him, I have heard these stories that if you invest in real estate, you don't have to pay taxes. And he said, that's not correct. So you will still have to pay taxes on the income. But I learned about the syndication then.
Okay. And so just to break down one piece of what you're saying is that you were able to, you know, depreciation is what we're talking about here. That's one reason why you can lower your taxable income. And so when you bought those single family houses, I assume they were on a 27.5 year depreciation schedule. So you're only able to depreciate, you know, 3-4% per year, right? Whereas with cost segregation, so you can depreciate a lot more all at once. And so there's much more that you can count against your taxable income. And you can feel free to add anything to that.
That's absolutely correct. And we didn't do that. And now nowadays, there are ways to do the depreciation, cost segregation on your own with the software, using a software. At that time, they didn't have a software to do cost segregation either. And honestly, I didn't know what cost segregation is. So in the next year, when I started investing passively, I learned about the cost segregation, bonus depreciation, and how these apart in by investing in apartments, you get minus K1 losses. So in the next year, I invested, I think, in 4 deals in a year. And then I got a bunch of cost segregation. In the next year, I didn't have to pay much taxes because I was a real estate professional. And there is one caveat also. A lot of people think that by investing in the multifamily passively, you can directly write off all your K1 passive losses, which is not correct. Because you can only do that you can only write off your passive income, not active income. If you are on a W-2 job or even you own a business that you work on actively, you cannot write off that even if you are a real estate professional. You can do a certain percent of it, but not all of it. But if you're a real estate professional, that means you spend more than 700 hours a year on the real estate, then you're considered by IRS as a real estate professional. Then you can write off 100% of your passive losses against your passive income.
Yes, very important distinction. And it's a kind of the holy grail of real estate is to be able to get that real estate professional status, which is a whole, you know, another topic for discussion. So now you're a real, even though you were in, were you not a real estate professional before because you were in gas stations?
No, I wasn't. And I didn't know that term either.
Okay.
And we owned some real estate because we owned the real estate for the gas stations. And we have a separate company that owns the real estate on a gas station. And then we have an operating company. So I could have qualified for a real professional status even then, but I didn't know what a real estate professional, but, and also I didn't have any K-1 losses. I didn't have any K-1 losses from other businesses. So all we had was an income. So we were paying taxes.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. So you started investing passively in real estate syndications, which really helped you save on your tax payments. And can you just give us, I'm just curious, how would you compare the gas station business to the multifamily business? Like what sorts of differences and similarities like come to mind?
Well, when we bought the portfolio of the single family houses, we didn't know much about the real estate at that time. So we compared the investment to our gas station. So if we invest this much, we should be making this much. And I was actively participating in the business. But when you are investing passively, that is a totally a different animal because you are not participating actively. So basically, you are a passive investor, like a sleeping partner. And it's an investment as compared to the gas station because gas station, you have to be active. So gas station is a business as compared to this passive investment is an investment. So you don't get the same kind of returns from an investment as compared to a business that you're running actively.
For sure. Yeah. Cause you're operating the gas station. And so you're responsible for the day to day, whereas with the passive investments, you don't have any responsibility. But of course, you know, it seems to me that they kind of dovetail quite nicely so that you can have some purely passive income along with the income that you're generating from your active role in managing the gas station.
Yes, definitely.
So at some point, I know you did decide to start buying multifamily at some point. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so you decided to become like a active buyer of multifamily and run your own syndications, right? And so how did you decide to do that? You started out passive investing. Did you see a great opportunity? What was it that spurred you to start buying?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Well, after about 6 months of managing these properties, I was full-time in the real estate. So I was not managing the gas station and the laundromat at that time. So I was full-time real estate. I had plenty of time. So I started attending boot camps, educational classes, and virtual meetings, and also live meetings, live seminars, boot camps. And I also joined a bunch of programs to learn. And I joined a mastermind where we had like 50 operators that had done more than 1,000 doors. I also had my Facebook group. I built up my Facebook group and I started sharing my information, my knowledge, and I started learning from other people as well. So I was at a position where I thought, okay, why don't we do our own deals? Why just to keep investing? I was still investing, but I started doing active roles in syndications rather than being passive.
So you were obviously really doing a lot of preparation to get into the space, joining groups, taking programs and whatnot. Can you tell us about your first multifamily deal that you purchased?
Okay, that's very interesting because we sold that today.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. What a celebratory day. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. I just received before, when I was sitting here in front of my computer, I received a call from one of my partners to congratulate. So today we sold our first deal that I was, we syndicated that I was a GP on.
That's
so
awesome.
So we went through a full cycle on an active deal, not a passive. We have sold about three deals that I was a passive investor on. But today, this was our first deal as a general partner, which we closed on today.
Congratulations.
So it's a great opportunity. So how did I get it on it? I'm a member of Rod Cleef's mastermind, where we had 50 operators, as I just said. So my partner, he had a deal. They were raising capital for it. And when I got a chance to present on that group, so I said I can raise capital and I had a net worth, I can sign loans as well. So this is what I have to offer to the group. So when I came back and he was sitting next to me, he said, we have a deal. Would you be interested in raising capital for me? Mm-hmm. I said, why not? You send me the documents, send me the T12 underwriting, rent roll, co-star reports, etc. I'll take a look, and they were supposed to close in 3 days. So I came, and this was in San Diego. So I came back from research, and I decided to get on the deal, and I got on the deal for his deal, and they closed on the weekend.
You were able to get capital in 3 days.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Because I was preparing for such a long time. So I had investors already who wanted to invest with me. So I called them and asked them if they were interested in investing in this deal. I have a deal, and they immediately jumped on it, and we wired the money the very next day, and they closed on Friday.
That's awesome. Cool. And what kind of deal was it? Was it like how many units? And
it was 225 units in Amarillo, Texas. It was a C property, and we repositioned that property. We moved a lot of the tenants out of the property and repositioned with the qualifying tenants, because when they sold the deal, they had a bunch of non-qualified tenants. So we renovated the property, about two-thirds of it.
When you say non-qualified, can you define that for us?
Okay. Non-qualified means, and it is very common in this industry, because when somebody sells a property, they want to keep it full. So they will rent to anyone who walks in. They don't run their credit check. They don't run their rental history. They just sign a lease with anyone who qualifies in order to keep the occupancy high. So that's what the previous owner did to us. So we had, when we moved in, we had a lot of unqualified tenants that we had to kick out, and our occupancy in the first 6 months was down to about 68%. So it was about break-even point.
Okay. Yeah, that's quite intense. And how did you remove those tenants? Are you allowed to do that in Texas? Just like do they do something wrong, or how did you remove them?
No, there were people who were not paying. And these kind of tenants, I have experienced this in the single family as well. If you rent to someone who's unqualified, they'll pay for a month or two. They got the money from somewhere, and third month they won't pay. So we had to evict them.
Okay.
A lot of them we evicted. A lot of them we didn't renew, but mostly it were evictions. So every week we had like 3-4 evictions.
So you got down to the 68%. Can you explain for the listeners just what break-even occupancy is?
Okay, so the break-even occupancy is a point where you break even between the operational cost, mean expenses, and the revenue breaks even. So you're not making any money. So we were at one point, we were at 68%, where we were not making any money. It was just paying off the expenses. And we couldn't pay the preferred return to our investors at that point. But
soon with the qualified. And today it is about 98% occupied, that property. And during the COVID, we had about 99% money collected, the rent collected, because we did not compromise with the standard of the tenants. Though we didn't, our occupancy was so down, but we spent money to get the qualified tenants rather than getting non-qualified tenants to the property. So that helped us in the long run because we got the right people in the property and they paid during the COVID. 99% of them paid during the COVID. It increased the value of our property a lot.
So what was your plan if, you know, if the occupancy were to dip below 68% to, like, say it went to like 64 or 62%, did you have reserves that you could use to cover those shortages?
Yes, we did have reserves, and we were also, because we knew that it's going to turn around. So we were, a lot of our GP partners were prepared to invest our own money as well, but we didn't have to.
Just so that we have an idea. So what kind of market was it? You said it was somewhere in Texas?
Amarillo, Texas.
Amarillo, Texas. Okay. And what are the demographics? Is that a growing town? Is it a town that has job growth?
When we bought it, there were several things going to happen in the area. Some of them didn't happen. There was a veterinary college that was supposed to be built just across the street. And this was on Highway 40. This property was on Highway 40. So some things didn't happen. And it's a different type of city. It's not a town. It's a population is more than 200,000. So it wasn't a small, but the competition had a lot of concessions and all that kind of stuff that we learned later on.
The competition had a lot of, what was that?
Concessions.
Concessions. Okay, got it.
They were offering a lot of concessions, et cetera.
I see. So then you were able to fill up the units though. And do you think that you were doing a better job than other apartments in the area, or how did you do so well?
Well, one reason was our apartment, our asset manager and the property manager had a great communication. Both worked very hard. The team actually worked very hard. And I have been sitting on the asset management calls ever since then. So every time we were surprised by our property management or the asset manager. So they did a great job. And the team was very helpful. Anytime she asked for help from us and or some types of job that we had to help her, we all did and cooperated with each other a lot.
Yeah. So what are some of the asset management lessons that you've learned so far? It sounds like that's something that you're getting to know quite well.
One thing, since we went down in the occupancy a lot. So we started doing several programs. We had some, because it's a town that supports that kind of things. There is a lot of medical employees, like nurses. They were on short-term visits to that town. So we had like five or six units furnished. So we rented them with the company. So the tenants were changing. So our tenant was the company. And we had short-term and we had even long-term leases so that they don't expire at the same time. So we were doing like 11 months and 1 week lease or 13 months lease. So we were doing that kind of leases and to make sure that we don't have more than 4 move-outs in 1 week. Mm-hmm. So we tried that. And it really helped. That way our in-house staff could handle all that. We didn't have to hire outside help to come in to turn over the units. So we saved money that way. We signed a few contracts, laundry contract and the internet contract, to get some lump sum money up front when we were having a bad time. Means when our vacancy was high. So at that time, we signed those contracts to get that money and help do the operating expenses.
How long had you guys owned this property before selling it?
About full term.
Okay.
About full term, yeah. And it performed very well. And it performed, the performer, we went a little bit over performer.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering, is that like 4 or 5 years or something?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's awesome. And congratulations again on selling it. Curious, did you renovate all of the units or just some of them?
Two-thirds of it. We left some meat on the bone so that the next buyer can also cash that.
Yeah. Okay. So you ended up selling to another value add investor.
Yep.
Okay, cool. And then just for some general atmospherics, do you know what, I mean, I know you probably didn't talk to the buyer, but do you have an idea of who they're planning on selling to? Like, are they going to sell to an institutional buyer or like a turnkey buyer? What can you say about that?
Well, I can't say much about it. I know the buyer because the buyer is also a member of our mastermind. So I know the buyer, but I don't know he's going to hold it. The other properties he holds for a long time. And it's not a property that any institution would buy because it's an older property and it's 225 units. So I think he's going to hold it. I don't know for sure what his plan is.
Yeah, for sure. No, I just thought, you know, it's just helpful to get an idea of different exit strategies. And there are a lot of people who, you know, do want to be buy and hold investors and just grow their portfolio in general. And so it sounds like that's one potential option for this. And so when you say an institutional buyer wouldn't buy it, it's because it's not nice enough and it's too small, or it's not nice enough, it's too big?
No, I think they don't buy that old properties. It's a 1974 property. So it's already halfway in the life cycle. So they don't buy properties like this. So I think it's a value add property, still a lot of meat on the bone. And he got it at a very reasonable price. And we got it at actually a reasonable price. That's why we were able to sell a profit. So I think he's going to hold it for 5-6 years and renovate the rest of the units and sell it again.
Okay. Well, you know, KK, thank you so much for adding a ton of value today. It's just really appreciate hearing about your stories and want to keep connected. So we'll see what you're up to in another year or so. Why don't you take some time to tell the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share?
Well, they can follow me on Facebook group. I have a Facebook group, 10X Multifamily Investment Group. It's a Facebook group. We have 6,000 members and a lot of great people share their experiences. And there's stories over there on that group and add a lot of value to the group. So that's a way to learn. They can follow me there. They can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, or they can go to our website and fill in the contact form and reach out to me and or schedule a call with me.
Awesome. Well, I hope you take some time to check out KK. His Facebook group is an awesome resource for sure to learn about multifamily. And thank you so much, KK, for coming on the show. We'll see you next time.
And our website name is growrichcapital.com. I got that name from a book that was my first real estate book, Grow, Think and Grow Rich.
Nice.
By Napoleon Hill. And it's a good read. So I suggest all your listeners, all your audience, to read this book for sure, even if you are not investing yet.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, such a critical book for, you know, for us in the mindset world. And I mean, there's just so much in that book that's very, very useful and important to apply to us with our businesses or, you know, wanting to become wealthy and grow that wealth ourselves. So yeah, it's a great recommendation, KK. And yeah, growrichcapital.com. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much, Sujata, for having me on your show.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com. for tons of free educational content to further your success.